Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, today's the day. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Okay, that's it. That's enough. And here ends my message. Don't you wish? Well, this is a most important day. We know that Jesus rose on the third day, but yet I don't know if all of you have got this thing. Well, it's only 2 days, right? He died on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday he rose. Well, it doesn't work that way. We have somebody who comes out of the Jewish religion. And in the Jewish religion, a day is a dark and a light. So if Jesus died Friday afternoon, that is Thursday, not Friday, because Thursday night at sunset to Friday night at sunset is Thursday. Friday night at sunset to Saturday night at sunset is Friday, and then sunset on Saturday night to sunset on Sunday night is the third day, okay? So the thing is, remember, as we look at things in our Western way of looking at it, it confuses us in Scripture because you're talking about a different culture. And we're going to get into that today in a little bit more deeply. Well, Mary goes to the tomb. Why? Well, because Friday afternoon, Jesus died about 3 o'clock, 3:30 in there. All right, so they have to get the body ready and in the tomb before the Sabbath, which is at sunset. So they've got about an hour and a half to do that. Well, they rushed, did a rush job, got him in there, got some stuff on him so he didn't stink, and then they rolled the stone in front of the tomb. So Mary goes there early, and the stone is open. And she sneaks a look in there, and it's empty. And she runs to go back and tell the apostles that the tomb's empty. All right, so Peter and the other apostle whom Jesus loved, which is John, of course, reading is from John, so he gets to embellish it a little bit for himself. But they take off, and John is young, okay? There were two young apostles, John and John Mark, the one who we know as Mark. So they take off, they run. John gets to the tomb first, but he's chicken. He doesn't look in, okay? Peter gets there. And he looks in. And he sees a couple things. First of all, now he hasn't gone in, he just looks in. He sees a pile of cloths, all the stuff that Jesus was wrapped in. But then he sees one cloth that's folded up neatly and put down right at the head. And it's the napkin that covered Jesus' face. We're going to talk about that in detail here in a little bit. But John finally enters. Sees and believes. Well, it doesn't tell us what he saw, does it? Okay. So what did he see? Well, we don't know that. I would assume he did, okay, because we know from later on in the scripture that Mary Magdalene saw it. But again, the apostles always doubt, don't they? They don't understand. You know, they get there. Did they really expect Jesus to rise again? Probably not. Okay? They were with him for 3 years. They studied with him. They walked with him. They were with him. And Jesus is dead. They had all these things that they were thinking about. Oh, Jesus is going to come in majesty. Look what happened on Palm Sunday. I mean, we got in there. Everything is great, right? And then 5 days later, he is killed on the cross and thrown into a tomb. All of their hopes have been dashed. Well, can you blame them for not believing? Okay. And then we turn to Mary. So after Peter and John leave, she's standing outside crying, just sobbing. And so finally, she gets the intestinal fortitude to walk in. And she sees two angels, dressed in white. Now, one of the commentaries I read from the first century thought that might be Moses and Elijah, because if you notice, any time that we have Jesus with two angels, it's usually Moses and Elijah. Also, in the book of Revelation, the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. Okay? So, when we look at this, is it? We don't know. Scripture doesn't say. But she saw those. And what did they say to her? Why are you crying? Whom do you seek? Well, they've taken my Lord, and I don't know where he is. Do you know where he is? And then she turns around. Now, you got to remember, this is a tomb. It's a cave. It's dark. So the only light's coming through the door. And she turns around. There's a figure standing there in the doorway. And the light's behind the figure, so you can't see the face. All you do is see this glowing figure. And Mary, he asks, Mary, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? I love this. And Mary thinks he's the gardener. Isn't that great? And she asks him, where have they taken Jesus? And the figure looks at her and just says one word. Mary. She realizes who this is and calls out to him, Rabboni, teacher. She falls at his feet. It's not in this part, but in one of the other gospels. She falls at his feet and grabs a hold of him. Okay? And what does he tell her? You're not supposed to touch me right now. Okay, now I haven't ascended to my Father yet. Well, there is our gospel story. But just like Paul Harvey, I'm going to talk about the rest of the story. My focus today is on that face cloth that was folded and put on the stone. Does anybody know the significance of that? Well, it's his face. Okay. No, it's not the shroud or turn. Okay. In Greek, that is called an athonion. It's the same word that is used for a napkin at a dinner plate. So it tells you about how big it is. Okay, it's a napkin. Okay. But it's important that it's that word, napkin. Now, earlier, we have another thing when it talks about the cloths, okay? The first word they use for that is, okay, pseudarion. That's Latin, but yet it's in the Greek scripture. A pseudarion is a sweat cloth. You know, if you're working out at a gym, gymnasium, it's the cloth you use to wipe your face to get the sweat off, okay? But the second time they mention it, they don't call it a pseudarion, they call it an athonion. All right, so you walk in and here's all the rest of the clothes just dumped there and one folded and put on the stone. Why? I always love, you know, Luther's, what does this mean? Well, it means a lot. In Jewish culture, a slave serving in a house has a master. The slave's responsible for setting the dinner table. He's also responsible for tearing all the stuff down, getting it out of there after the meal. And there's something that tells him to do that, and that's the napkin. All right, so if the master is done, he wipes his mouth, cleans his beard, gets all the big pieces off that he was saving for later. Okay? Takes a napkin, bolts it up, throws it beside his plate. Gets up and walks out. Slave comes in, cleans everything off. Another scenario. The master takes, wipes everything off like he did before. However, this time, he folds it and puts it beside the plate. Now remember, the word for this is othonion in Greek. The napkin. Now, the culture there would know exactly what we're talking about. We don't. But that's part of their culture. Well, so what does it mean? So it's folded and put down there, which tells the slave, the master is coming back. And so when Jesus left the tomb, he took the napkin, he folded it, put it on the stone. And what is he saying? I'm coming back. Yeah, I'll be back. That was pretty good. You know, we look at this kind of thing. I was thinking, Cheryl, you were talking about this. I read scripture, but I don't understand it when we were talking about that. It's because the cultural references, like that Othonion, we don't have. But when you know that story, all of a sudden it comes alive. And Jesus is saying, I'll be back. May this folded napkin, the Othonion of our Lord and Savior, remind you that he will return. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And amen.